Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Armchair GMs. I'm your host, Tommy Tellerio, and alongside me today is the Madden GM god himself, Jordan Navarro. Jordan, how are we doing on this fine Friday afternoon?
I'm doing fantastic. Tomorrow, big day in my life. You know, it's time. The seasonal depression of the fall has ended. It's time for my spring and summer seasonal depression to start. New York Yankees baseball starts tomorrow. The quest for 28, we've been on it for a decade now, probably still going to be on it, it starts. But I'm excited. But it's not time to talk about baseball yet, Tommy. We're still squarely in off-season NFL mode.
That's right. We're saying no baseball or basketball today. We don't want to talk about that Tank Commander Pat Bev or Tank Commander Kevin Love. We want to talk about, you know, some of these off-season moves that we could see in the NFL. So a lot of guys, a lot of high-profile guys that could be moved in the next coming months. I'll let you kick it off. We will talk about one guy, though. We're talking about one pick for this first one.
One pick.
I think the 101.
I think Eminem, what did he say? Like one pick, one, or no, it was a Nas. One pick, one mic, something like that. Some lyric. I think he was talking about a pick.
Something like that.
It's the 101. Shout out to Lovie Smith. This could have been the Houston Texans pick. We wouldn't be talking about it. But Lovie Smith is that guy, and he wanted to go out on a win, and he did exactly that. So this pick belongs to the Chicago Bears. Tommy, I know a couple things about Chicago. It's always windy. It's got the worst specialty type of pizza.
Yes.
I said it. Deep dish is bad. Fight me. And the sports teams are
hit or miss.
It's pretty sad most of the time.
Yeah.
But this is a cause for celebration. You know, I said all of last season when we were talking about them every week, I said, you got to hate that they started off that good. You know, the saddest wins I've ever seen from a city of Chicago. But they ended with the 101, which is exactly what they should have had the intent of doing. And now we're at a crossroads. Tommy, I hear reports are going to trade Justin Fields and take Bryce Young.
No. No.
That shouldn't happen. I'm here to tell you right now. You should keep Justin Fields. Because why? He's the same guy he was when he came out of college. Big arm, somewhat inaccurate, but super athletic, and he showed you exactly that. Why not build around him? So we're talking about the 101 as a trade target. Tommy, you know as good as I do, they should trade this pick.
Yes. Unless they want to go defensive.
But we're already seeing the overhype of this QB class, you know?
Yeah.
Bryce Young, CJ Stroud, I like them. I think they're very solid prospects.
They're nice guys. I like them.
I think they're very solid. They're solid prospects. You got the wild cards, Will Levis and Anthony Richardson. You know, big arms, mobile, very projectable, but works in progress. We're already seeing Anthony Richardson. I mean, I've watched his tape. It's amazing the things he can do. There's also times he has no accuracy. The thing is, it's funny that we're talking about him, you know, being potentially a 101, and it's like, oh, they shouldn't do it, you know, he's only completing 54% of it, but Trey Lance, I mean, he played North Dakota State and threw the ball like 200 times in three seasons and was like, this guy's top three, banging the table for it. So if he played at North Dakota State, maybe Anthony Richardson would be the solidified 101, but I digress. So we have four quarterbacks that people are talking about potentially at this pick and, you know, in the top three, top four. Chicago doesn't need one. It's a quarterback-driven league, Tommy. The 101 is the most valuable trade piece this offseason, maybe outside of Lamar Jackson, who we're going to talk about in a bit. They should trade it. Trade it to the Colts. Maybe the Texans get antsy and, you know, they trade up. I don't know. It seems like a Texans-type decision, even though they don't need to. You know what I mean? They should definitely trade this pick.
I'm glad he brought the Colts because I think that's the only suitable team, really, that will go after the 101 at this time. You know, it is still very early in the offseason, so you don't know exactly what's going to happen. But it makes the most sense for the Colts, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you know, they've been doing this thing where they keep signing quarterbacks on their last legs.
Yeah.
Almost into the retirement home. You know, if Tom Brady was still around, maybe they would have got him. You know, maybe they'll trade for Aaron Rodgers, you know. Let's just get a young guy, you know. Let's give Shane Steichen, give him a young guy. Let him mold Bryce Young or CJ Stroud to fit whatever he wants. And the Chicago Bears should get a haul for this. You know, move down to the 4 or 5, whatever. Take your defensive guy there, and you get some draft capital next year. Seems perfect. They're not one piece away from winning. Justin Fields needs a multitude of weapons, and this defense needs miracles. So let's work on that.
Now, if you are the Bears, what kind of package are you looking for this 101?
Pick swap with the Colts. Give me their second round pick and a first next year, or maybe their third this year and a first and a third next year with the pick swap, something like that. I'm getting a first next year plus, you know, a couple mid-round picks with the pick swap, or, you know, maybe I can get Quentin Nelson from them plus a first. I highly doubt that. I don't think that's going to happen, but something like that.
Something very doable, I think. You know, Ryan Pace is – I think he's done a good job so far as GM for Chicago. I think they're on the right track. The Chase Claypool trade's kind of not looking great, but
– stinky. I think there's still very stinky. There's extremely stinky.
There's time
sweaty
to build.
Sweaty sock stinky.
There's time to build off it. I mean, I've never been the biggest fan of Chase Claypool.
I mean, I was for a second.
I know you were.
That's Notre Dame bias, though. Listen, 32nd overall pick for a guy that came in and his only competition for targets was Equanimeous St. Brown, and he couldn't get targets.
Listen, I mean, trust the process.
Fair, fair.
Trust the process.
Move him to tight end.
I mean, I think it'd be great. I think it'd be a great move. But, I mean, yeah, Cole Kmet already at tight end, who's going to be
true. Notre Dame legend.
Yes. Just bring in the third Notre Dame guy. Just bring in Quentin Nelson. Everything will be all right.
And then draft Michael Mayer.
Even better.
But have Sam Mustafa at center. He's also a Notre Dame guy. Chicago Bears, very...
Just take all of Notre Dame. Just take them all. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
There we go. I think just listen to Jordan right there and take Notre Dame, and you will come up top four into the playoffs almost every year.
I don't know, but you're guaranteed the 101 in 2024 as well. Guaranteed.
Fair enough.
Trust the process.
We'll talk about someone else in that division that has terrorized the Chicago Bears for years. Some would say he's part of team owner. That's Aaron Rodgers. He just came out of his he's out. He's out now. He's out.
Tommy, he's still in the darkness.
It ended. He's done.
Oh, okay.
There's no more darkness.
All right, we can go back to our normal talking voices. He's out of the darkness.
He got out. He's done with his 4-day retreat, we'll say. We don't know what's going on there.
I wonder if he took shrooms while he's in there.
He probably did. I'm going to say a guarantee that he did. He took a trip, some would say, to Oregon in the darkness retreat. But yeah, there's been talks for how many years now that he's getting traded? What is this, the third year now?
Yeah, a lot of years.
I mean, I just don't know any more of him. I don't think he plays in Green Bay again, but I don't know if it's worth it for him to go out and go to another team. I'm going to be honest.
Well, Tommy, let's look at it from Aaron Rodgers' perspective. He completed 65% of his passes. You know, He had 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, and 12 interceptions, and he had 6.8 yards per attempt. He had a solid season. You know, wasn't MVP-like, but a lot of that can be, you know, you can kind of see why his stats were down when you look at the wide receiver production he got, and took Christian Watson a while to get going, Romeo Doubs for them to build chemistry, so I completely get it. You know, we hear the Jets. He'd be stepping into a good situation. Really good running back. You know, he's coming off an ACL. Breece Hall is talented. Michael Carter's solid. They have James Robinson. You know, whether they release him or not, who knows. But, you know, a decent enough running back room. Garrett Wilson, who's on the fast track on a lot of people's list to being, you know, top 10, top 15 guy in the league. Elijah Moore, who I think is uber talented. I think he just, you know, he got the Zach Wilson debuff. You know, he had to play with Zach Wilson. Corey Davis, Tyler Conklin, I don't know if he's still under contract or not. A decent offensive line, pretty good defense in the back end, a talented head coach, at least defensively. And an OC in Nathaniel Hackett, who he's used to. So, if there's a better spot for him, I don't know of one. People say the Raiders. We'll talk about them near the end of the episode. I don't see that spot at all. I mean, everything goes back to Davante Adams.
They're done.
We've seen this story. Yeah. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers wants to go play with Davante in Vegas and get a bunch of money, sure. They're not going to win anything. You step in, what are you, the second best quarterback in your division? Maybe. Like, maybe. Like, that's depending on what Justin Herbert does. And then, not to mention, what if Russell Wilson bounces back? Then it's
close.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'd still put him third, but, like, you're in a dogfight of a division when you used to play in the NFC North with the Chicago Bears and the Lions, who, you know, just now recently started to look like an NFL franchise, and the Vikings, who are good to implode every season. So you go from that to an uber-competitive division on your last legs with Davante Adams being your only weapon again. It's not looking too good, especially with a defense like the Raiders. They're not that great. We see Aaron Rodgers with this defense that the Green Bay Packers gave him. He can't find playoff success with that. You know what I mean? Like, this is not Superman Aaron Rodgers anymore. So from his perspective, I'd want to go to the Jets, or I'd want to stay in Green Bay.
I think the Jets, the media there, I think, might get to him a little bit, I will say. You know, the New York media can be a lot for players. We've seen it in multiple sports. But I think another team that could go after him, depending on what they do with their quarterback now, is the Tennessee Titans. I think they could end up working around the cap even more, trying if they want Aaron Rodgers. But we'll get to them later. I don't think it's the best idea for them. I think they got to break it down. But if they do think they can still compete in the AFC South, I think it's very winnable with Aaron Rodgers there.
Yeah, but, for sure.
Some other stats of Aaron Rodgers on the year. 81 red zone attempts. That was ninth in the league. He had the ninth most air yards with a little over 4,000. He could still air the ball out. He is a little bit older, but he still showed that his arm is solid. I don't know if he ends back up in Green Bay, though. I think
let's look at it from the Packers perspective. What can you get for Aaron Rodgers? Making a lot of money. Get a first, you know? I think you can get a first, and maybe a couple seconds, I doubt it. Maybe a first and a second. That might be the best package you get.
That or I think maybe some first and maybe a third and a fourth, something like that.
And we're going to talk about them at the end of the episode, just specifically. That's worth it to me to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. Listen, we're at a crossroads for this team. Like I said, we'll talk about them a little bit later. But we're at a crossroads. I think it's time to finally like rip the Band-Aid off and make this decision.
Yeah, because, I mean, Jordan Love is just sitting on the bench, and this is, what, his fourth year now? He doesn't have a lot of reps. So it'll be interesting to see. We'll talk about the other quarterback that has been in trade talks. I don't know if he's officially on the trade market right now, but Action Jackson, Lamar Jackson. There's reports. I mean, he wants a fully guaranteed contract. He wants that Deshaun Watson guaranteed.
Well, listen, man. Lamar, he talks about wanting all this guaranteed money, and I just don't see why. I don't.
I agree.
You know, let me break it down for you, Tommy. He's equally as talented as Deshaun Watson. He might be more athletic, more dynamic as Deshaun Watson. He might be the better player than Deshaun Watson. But Tommy, that's not worth that money. You know? Because you know why? Because he doesn't have 20 allegations of a certain misconduct against his name. So he's really going to need to catch up in that regard to be worth the Deshaun Watson money.
And he needs to go to play Houston for 5 years.
Yeah, you know, him being an upstanding citizen and being good to the Baltimore community and running the entire Baltimore offense and being the sole reason that team's offense is any good is not enough. You need to be more like Deshaun Watson. But on a serious note, I'm not making light of that situation. I find it hilarious.
Sure
you that are. We're sitting here talking about Lamar Jackson not being worth this money when we allowed, as in the NFL, allowed Deshaun Watson to, one, play football again, and two, sign this contract. And three, sign this contract after not playing football for 2 years. But Lamar Jackson, who's done all this, won an MVP, something Deshaun Watson hasn't done, made your team a divisional winner, you know, been to the playoffs, won a playoff game. He's not worth it?
I guess not.
You pay the man. Listen, 62% completion percentages last year, 2,200 yards, 17 touchdowns, 3 rushing touchdowns on 7 interceptions. He was dynamic. He was injured a little bit, but he looked like Lamar Jackson. And I listened to Todd Monken's intro press conference, and let me tell you, Tommy, it got me excited. I heard the word spread, pace, space.
Spread offense?
Oh, my God. I was so excited. I was like, wow. We're entering this day and age of football. We're no longer running QB power on 3rd and 3 with Lamar Jackson. We might actually pass the ball. We might actually let Lamar Jackson do what he did in college. We might actually let Lamar Jackson be a quarterback. I don't understand why I can sit there and I can watch Deshaun Watson, who, again, not making light of his situation, he's a terrible human being. But the last time I saw him fully healthy play football, like not this last season, he was probably the top 5 QB in the NFL. But you'd have Lamar right there with him. Pay the man. I get the way he plays, maybe not worth $250 million. But you know who has the ability to change the way he plays? The coaching staff.
Oh my goodness. We can
change the offense where we're not running him into the ground. Mind blown.
Are you saying that he could be in an offense like we've seen Jalen Hurts in this past year?
Yeah, he could be in an offense where he passes the ball and plays quarterback first instead of running around. I mean,
are you sure?
Listen, every time he's got hurt, it's been in the pocket.
Yeah.
Him running around usually doesn't – no one hits him when he runs. He doesn't usually get hurt running. He's good at sliding most of the time. He's not trying to run through people. And it's not like anyone can tackle him in the open field anyway. Pay the man.
I think he's earned it. You know, I think we've been saying that. We've been saying that all year. But if, say, he does get traded – what teams are going after him, you think?
Well, listen, we got to break it down context-wise. He's going to get the exclusive tag, and if he gets the exclusive tag, this is all out the window because he either has to sign or he's got to sit out. And I think Baltimore is stupid to not put the exclusive tag on him. As much as I hate to say that because I'm very pro-player, it's the best decision for them. With the exclusive tag, make him sign a shit out. I hate to say that. And the quarterback market, I get it. You don't want to give him $250 million fully guaranteed. Deshaun Watson wasn't worth that, sure. But that's the going rate now. That's the going rate. Like, you know, you got to make some middle ground. Maybe $200 million fully guaranteed with some incentives. Do something. Pay the man. But going to the trades, Atlanta, the Jets, I think you'd have teams like Miami be involved. I could see the Giants get involved. I mean, I think they'd be dumb not to. I understand they want to keep Lamar or Daniel Jones. Come on now. It's not rocket science. If I have a chance to get Lamar Jackson, I'm going to get Lamar Jackson.
And he's asking for $45 billion a year. So
yeah. Teams like that.
Wow.
For sure. Those would be my top. Atlanta, the Jets, the Giants, and Miami would be the top four, I would assume. Sneakily, I could see maybe Seattle. Oh, they got some capital. Maybe they move off of Geno Smith. You know, they kind of rebuilt that roster pretty quickly. If they got Lamar, they could be easily the second best team in the West. They might even overtake, you know, the Niners, depending on how good Lamar Jackson is. So there's going to be a multitude of teams lined up for Lamar. And if you're the Ravens and you do decide to trade him for some stupid reason, three first round picks.
Better get a haul. Yeah, you better get a haul.
Three first round picks is the first, like, that's the first check mark. I'm getting three.
Yeah.
Plus other picks, plus some players.
Listen, if Stafford got three first round picks at what? How old was he? 33 years old?
I think he got two.
Two? There's no, Lamar, yeah, Lamar deserves three if he's getting two. But
yeah, I mean, look at what Seattle got for Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
I mean, and he was 32, 33. Yeah, 33. We're talking about what? Lamar's like 28, 27, something like that.
Yeah.
Like he's not old. It's the guy's in his prime.
I'm glad you brought up Atlanta. I think that'd be good for Atlanta. My thing is, though, if you're Lamar, I feel like you need something that we need to build around. Because they have Kyle Pitts, but other than that, I don't think they have solid targets. We're in that situation again.
Drake London's good. I like Drake London a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And I like Kyle Pitts, and they have a decent offensive line. I think that would be the perfect spot for him. Either that or the Jets, but I don't think they'll trade him to the Jets because I don't think they want to trade interconference.
I think
they would trade him to Atlanta. But I think Atlanta's a great spot for him. I could even see Carolina. We've talked about them.
Yeah.
DJ Moore, they, you know, good run game, good offensive line, solid spot.
Good defense.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Jackson, every team in the NFL would be kicking the tires on him at least. Every team.
There was one sleeper team that I thought of. I like the Seattle. I had them right behind. What about Detroit? You think Detroit could make a move and be like, you know, we've seen what we can do with Goff. What if we added Lamar into this offense?
I could definitely see it, but I think Detroit is one of those teams where they value culture and team fit, and I think Jared Goff just
fits it.
I feel like that team is so tight-knit. I feel like those guys have been through battles together, and they're going to, you know, ride that out, and, you know, whether they win or not is, you know, I don't think Jared Goff is talented enough to win a Super Bowl, but he's been there.
Yeah.
So if they can get the team around him, then maybe they can, you know, maybe they can do the impossible. But I think he's played well, you know. But yeah, for sure, they would definitely be lining up to talk about Lamar Jackson. At least they'd be, you know, stupid not to.
Yeah. You know, Dan Campbell, you never know what that man's thinking.
You should know. Especially if you're DeAndre Swift.
Yeah, I mean, that man just basically lost his job, really, to Jamal Williams. We'll go our next guy. You know, he missed almost half the season and put up outstanding numbers. And he just turned 30, I believe, last season.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, this man was on a tear, even though the rest of the team did not perform nearly as well as they did the year before. Hopkins, 96 targets on the year, 64 receptions. 717 yards. That's in like 10 games.
Nine games.
I forgot that they had the bye after he came back. I mean, it's just, it's kind of crazy what this guy was able to do. I mean, he finished top 50 in the league for receiving yards. And he missed half the year.
It's insane. And I want to add to more of that wide receivers just to kind of speed this up. We don't need to deep dive on all these guys. Brandon Cooks and Mike Evans as well. Mike Evans had 127 targets, 77 receptions, 1,124 yards, 6 touchdowns. Brandon Cooks, 93 targets, 57 receptions, 700 yards, 3 touchdowns. Going back to D-Hop, who I think is the most valuable out of those three, what a season, man. Like you said, I mean, he missed half the year and came back and was still elite. And I could definitely see him staying in Arizona. I wouldn't blame them for not wanting to move D-Hop. But if he is moved, the Giants need to pick up the phone immediately. The Giants and New England should be the only two teams that should be allowed to get D-Hop. If they allow him, you know, say Kansas City out of the blue just decides, yeah, we're going to go get DeAndre Hopkins. Why, like, the Giants, we've seen this, Tommy. This has been a trend. Look at the step that Jalen Hurts took. Look at the step that Josh Allen took when these guys got number ones that were truly elite. You have DeAndre Hopkins sitting here. I know he's 30, and we're talking about Diggs and Brown, who are a lot younger when they got moved. But what I just saw is not a guy that's slowing down. That guy can do that for two more years, at least. Go get him. Mac Jones, you don't think Mac Jones would love to throw to DeAndre Hopkins instead of Jacoby Myers?
Come on now.
An OC that he's used to, mind you. Maybe he doesn't want to go back to Bill O'Brien. You know, maybe they're still on shaky ground, but it's business.
Had some of his best years, though, with him.
Yep. And then the Giants. If you're really, truly going in with Daniel Jones, you better make the most of it.
Yeah. You're going to need some weapons around him.
Listen, this whole hybrid quarterback running back thing we got him playing, we saw what happens in the playoffs if you're not playing Minnesota. If you're playing a defense that has more than like two guys that are starting NFL players, doesn't work.
Ain't going to work.
It's not pretty.
Ain't going to work, big fella.
So go get D-Hop. Touching on Mike Evans. Oh, boy. I thought the 1,000-yard streak was over. I mean, he somehow pulled it out. He always does, but he doesn't have Brady. We're talking about the Bucs later. You know, this is an offseason. They got to make some tough decisions. He hasn't been a name that's really been mentioned, but kind of in the same breath as D-Hop, if you need an elite one, I mean, Mike Evans is slowing down a little bit. I can see it, but listen, man, he's 6'5", and if there's a guy that I had to throw a fade to in the end zone, he's on a short list of guys I'd want or throw any contested ball to. Mike Evans makes quarterbacks' jobs a lot easier. You know, but I think Mike Evans would be the guy that would be moved to a Kansas City. He would be moved to a Baltimore, who we didn't even talk about as an option for D-Hop. They need to be all over receivers as well. If you're going to keep Lamar Jackson or go with Tyler Huntley or draft Anthony Richardson, wherever you're going with quarterback, got to get him somebody other than Rashad Bateman. Mark Andrews is fine. Got to get someone other than Rashad Bateman.
I mean, Mike Evans, I think Tampa wants him to be there in Tampa for his whole career.
Yeah, and but I understand that.
I also think Tampa could also be like, hey, he's not getting any younger. We're not going in the right direction. Do we want him to be in purgatory for the rest of his career? Or do we want to send him out and get him some more rings? I think that's what you have to look at.
I think any team we talk about on this list for wide receivers, the two teams that come to the top of my mind are the Giants and New England.
Yes.
Listen, they're similar teams where I think New England, it's how, like, truly how bad was that offense? I think people are underrating how bad the offense was because of having no OC. I think this offense is going to make leaps and bounds and strides better than last season with Bill O'Brien. And that's saying something because it's Bill O'Brien. But I like Mac Jones. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. I think there's no way he can't be a Kirk Cousins type. There's no way. He can be an average NFL quarterback, at least a slightly above average. Get him some weapons. The Giants, listen, I'm done questioning Brian Daboll. I feel like he could take Josh Johnson and make the playoffs, as far as I'm concerned. Like, at this point, I've seen enough. So get some weapons for whatever quarterback you choose to go with. But those are the two X guys, that Mike Evans, D-Hop, onto the third guy I mentioned, Brandon Cooks. The little engine that could. Everywhere he goes, he produces. He was banged up a little bit this year, and then he didn't really want to play in Houston. He kind of reluctantly signed back. They're going to move him. Again, I'm going to mention New England and the Giants, but I think they should be more looking to those prototypical X guys. Brandon Cooks, an interesting one is if the Packers decide to keep Aaron Rodgers, this is the team that everyone's named the last couple seasons for him, I would like to see Brandon Cooks with the Packers. I think him and Aaron Rodgers would work really well together. If he took a pay cut, I could also see the Chargers really benefiting from adding Brandon Cooks. We said they need more speed. They need somebody who can stretch the field. Brandon Cooks has been doing it for a damn near decade. He's excellent at it. So those are the two top teams for me looking at Brandon Cooks, because I think he's for sure getting moved. If I had to pick a wide receiver on this list, I think he's the most guaranteed to be moved.
Yeah, and it was pretty sure that he was going to be moved in the season. I just think Houston couldn't find a deal that they liked for him, where they were like, eh. And I know he was kind of upset about that. But then again, it is a business, so they're not just going to send you off because he wasn't there that long. He's not like he's a Texans legend.
Yeah.
But I'm glad you brought up Green Bay, because I think he could be a really good slot guy there. You know, you saw Randall Cobb have an amazing career with Aaron Rodgers. I think Brandon Cooks, he's a little bit in better shape than Randall Cobb was the past two seasons for Green Bay.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. He brings a lot of that veteran leadership into a young wide receiver room. You know, he can work with Romeo Doubs. He can work with Christian Watson. He can develop some of that wide receiver talent. I think, you know, I don't know what they're going to do with Alan Lazard. I think that'll determine what they want to do. But I like that you brought up the Chargers, because I didn't really think about the Chargers and Brandon Cooks, because I always think, you know, they still do have Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You know, we talk about that he might get cut, but there is a possibility that he doesn't. So I think Chargers would also be a great place.
Yeah, I mean, think of turbocharged Jalen Guyton. We saw how important he was to the offense.
Yeah.
We're talking about a vet. He's done this. He can get open other ways than just running really fast. And, you know, if Keenan Allen stays healthy and Mike Williams stays healthy, and you add Brandon Cooks to that, I mean, cap-wise, it doesn't really work. But, you know, they got to figure it out.
And then one more receiver I do want to talk about is T. Higgins, just because there's a possibility he might get traded, just because the Bengals might be like, hey, man, we don't want to pay you that much. You know, we got to pay Ja'Marr Chase. We got to pay Burrow. I know we talked about Giants, New England, probably should be going after maybe a guy like T. Higgins if they do trade him. Any other teams?
Chicago. I would move the 101 for T. Higgins and get picks back plus him. That's crazy to say. People are going to say, you never move the 101 for a wide receiver. I agree. But if I could get a multitude of picks back, you know, seconds and thirds and, you know, maybe a first or two, plus T. Higgins, sure. You know, it depends on how bad the Cincinnati Bengals want a top edge rusher. If they don't, the Bears have other picks they can move. I was just thinking in terms of a blockbuster package.
Yeah.
They could obviously move, you know, a future first and a second. I think it's going to take a first and a second to get T. Higgins. But I think the Bengals are going to make it work. I think they're going to re-sign him, re-sign Ja'Marr, re-sign Burrow, keep that trio together. Another really interesting team that I think people are kind of not really looking at for a T. Higgins could potentially be the Houston Texans. D'Amico Ryan's going to want to make a splash. They're going to probably take their quarterback of the future. There's not a lot on that roster outside of that. They could, they could draft Jordan Addison. They could draft Quentin Johnston at 12 for sure. That's where those guys are getting mocked to. But I know for a fact that T. Higgins is elite. I don't have to watch him. I know he's elite. He fits a rebuilding timeline still. He's young. And he's an X factor. So what if you take C.J. Stroud at 2? Or Bryce Young? Or Will Love? Whoever. Would you rather have them throw into another rookie who not a for sure thing? Or I could go trade the 112, get T. Higgins a second and a third, or a second back. T. Higgins and a second back. Bengals could take an elite defender, elite edge rusher. That's a win-win for both teams.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm a rookie quarterback, I'd love to throw to T. Higgins. I mean, we saw what T. Higgins can do as a wide receiver one when Ja'Marr Chase was out. He's uber talented, man. I feel like he can do almost everything on the field, that receiver. To end the offensive things, I just want to quickly go over. There's two players on the Raiders, I think, that could also be moved. Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller. You know, they both signed, I'd say, bigger contracts. I know Renfrow, more so Waller, signed a big contract. Renfrow was still a solid deal.
Yeah, he's making like $8 to $10 million, something like that.
Yeah. Waller had a down year, but I also think it was just because he was injured most of the year. If he does get moved, where do you think he goes?
The Packers. They need a tight end. If they keep Aaron Rodgers, that's the most logical. They talked about it in season. Usually when you talk about something in season, you're going to be interested in that deal in the offseason. Hunter Renfrow should be a Titan. It really shouldn't be that. Listen, if there is a match made in heaven, it is Hunter Renfrow going to the Tennessee Titans. They're going to keep Tannehill, keep trying to rebuild that offense. He's perfect. Treylon Burks on the outside. He could use a veteran receiver, a guy that can get open consistently. Hunter Renfrow is a great route runner. Let's not forget what he did, not this last season, but the season before. Okay? He was the only weapon. Darren Waller was banged up again. He was cooking people. We're not talking about him being a number two to Devontae Adams. No, he was doing this when he was the only guy on the field, getting open in the red zone. I don't want to hear that Hunter Renfrow is a bad receiver. Sure, he's not elite, but he's a damn good wide receiver too. A very solid wide receiver too. A veteran. He catches everything. And for a guy like that to be able to get open in the red zone is huge. It makes perfect sense for the Titans. Perfect sense. It's a match made in heaven to have him next to Treylon Burks.
I've never seen him run a bad route, I'm going to be honest.
No.
The man can run any route.
Yes. Yes. One of the most diverse route trees in the NFL.
I don't know if I want to see him stay in Vegas, just because I don't know what they're going to do. I want to see him. I think that'd be great in Tennessee, because he's a reliable guy. I think it gives Tennessee a little bit more of a shot with that wide receiver room to make a run at another AFC South title. But I think that's it for the offensive end. You got anyone else you want to add?
Nah.
We'll go over to the defensive side of the ball, and that's probably going to be the biggest name in all defense if he does get traded. Jalen Ramsey, spent 2.5 years with the Rams, 3.5?
Yeah, something like that.
They're saying he could be moving on based on directions with him in L.A. 3 forced fumbles, that was 6th in the league. 4 interceptions, that was 11th. 18 pass deflections, that was 2nd in the league. He's putting up numbers. He is 28. He's putting up numbers. He's doing what we need him to do. He's on a huge contract.
He's on a massive contract. Yeah. And this was a guy who a couple years ago was the de facto number one in the NFL. It's not that anymore. He's lost a step, whether he wants to admit it or not. I don't know if it's because he's not as hungry as he was or if he's getting just a little bit lazy, which I'm not going to doubt his talent. He could definitely come back and be the number one corner in the NFL without a doubt. But with the contract he's on, the Rams need cap space, and I think they need to move on. A couple of teams I can definitely see him going to. One, we talked about this in the free agents, any corner, and I mean any corner, any warm body that plays cornerback should be on Detroit list. Should anybody. I'm talking first round pick to seventh round, 256, mystery relevant. If they play corner, they need to be on Detroit's list. That's how bad that room is. Jalen Ramsey, listen. You know, with Jared Goff, it's a passionate team. Makes perfect sense to me. It would be a highlight splash. Get your ticket sales up. Make people really excited about Detroit Lions football. Makes a lot of sense. People will inevitably say the Cowboys. I mean, Jalen Ramsey looks like a Cowboy, I guess. Like, he, you know, it fits their typical mold, you know, superstar, defender, kind of, you know, it, kind of out there. Like, he's very exuberant. But he's got to be moved. I don't think the Rams can contend and have him on the roster. They need cap space. They need draft capital. They need to be able to reshape this roster a little bit. And I think you get 2 second-round picks for Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, I think Detroit is probably going to be the front runners to try and go get him. Dallas, I feel like they're already paying a lot of big contracts. They kind of
shot themselves in the foot with that one. And you got Micah Parsons coming up. Yeah,
and I'm definitely paying Micah Parsons and CD over Jalen Ramsey right now. And you got to pay Trayvon soon.
Yeah.
So it's just a lot of obstacles they already have to jump through. I think Jalen Ramsey, you know, we've seen him lose a step, especially against these big receivers, like you said. He got burnt by Mike Evans in the playoffs last year, got burnt by Ja'Marr Chase in the playoffs or in the Super Bowl. Stephon Diggs made him look silly, I'll say, against that opening week Bills. I just think, like you said, he's lost a step, I think, because he got complacent. You know, he's playing with Aaron Donald. When he got 2-star players on there, he kind of probably felt like, hey, I don't have to do as much. You know, I don't have to be as locked down. Where I think he needs that to be that number one corner again. I think he needs that, and he needs to be hungry again. Maybe it was a little bit of championship hangover, maybe a little bit after winning the Super Bowl. We know teams and players deal with that. But I'm interested to see where he goes, because I think he still can provide a lot of value to teams.
Oh, he's definitely elite. He's absolutely still one of the top corners in the NFL. And you talk about him, we're talking about him like he's washed. He's definitely not washed.
He's not. Just,
it's a big step down from being the number one guy, the guy, to being just an elite guy.
And we'll talk about two players right now because they're both on the same team. Cameron Jordan, DeMario Davis, you know, they're anchors for the Saints defense. But Saints are wizards with the salary cap, will say.
Well, you know, how do you change? Listen, man, if there's anybody listening that's an economics major, I need a deep dive into Loomis Bucks. How does Mickey Loomis convert USD into Loomis Bucks? What's the conversion rate on that? Because they somehow always get cap space. But talking about these two, this stalwart, Cam Jordan, one of the most underrated players of his generation. He doesn't ever come up when anybody talks about the most elite defensive ends, and it's kind of been like that his whole career. He is a machine. He is always productive. Maybe it's not the gaudy sack numbers he had early in his career, but he's always good for 9 or 10. Guaranteed. He's always going to be good for 9 or 10. He's a great leader. DeMario Davis is the same thing. So we're not talking about the Saints. We'll talk about them probably in a couple episodes, maybe even next episode. Who knows? But man, what a crossroads! And with the, you know, with with them potentially kicking the tires on Derek Carr, it kind of seems like they're going down the same path again, where they're going to keep trying to get these veteran quarterbacks and keep trying to compete, which I understand. Your division is rough. You know, it's a bad division. You can win it easily with Derek Carr. But I think you could get picks for both of these guys. You know, I think you get a second for Cam Jordan still, maybe a second and a third, or, you know, two thirds and a fourth. DeMario Davis, kind of the same thing. I think you get a fourth and a third for him, something like that. You need to move these guys and get younger, man. It's the run is over, okay? It was a great run. It's unfortunate that you didn't win more with Drew Brees, but it was a great run. And it's time to move on. Let these guys go chase rings with better teams. Cam Jordan, I could see him going to San Francisco. You know, if you could get that under the cap, they need another defensive end. They need someone outside of Nick Bosa. He's perfect. DeMario Davis, everyone needs linebackers. He could go to Minnesota to replace the guy that we're talking about coming up. Or he could go, yeah. You know, Kansas City needs a linebacker. Everybody needs linebackers, especially elite linebackers like DeMario Davis. You can see the importance of the position really coming into the spotlight when you look at guys like Fred Warner and Shaq Leonard. Teams want that now, especially with how much motion and this positionless offense that people are running. People want that, and DeMario Davis can provide that.
And both these guys, you know, they're kind of like Iron Men for the Saints team. I don't remember the last time where they were missing a big stretch of games. I think you're gonna see them, I think, moved, I will say. I don't think they will end up with the Saints again next year just because, you know, they are both on big contracts. I think that's going to be the biggest role. But for Cam Jordan, I think he's got less legs than DeMario Davis, I believe, in him. So I think he's going to try to win a ring very soon. Like you said, I think any team would be calling for these two players. I don't see a list where it's like, oh, we're kind of happy with this position right now.
Yeah.
We'll stick with it. We'll talk about another corner again who basically was – you didn't really see him on the field. It felt like, you know, he's kind of just a traffic cone for most of the year. Shaquille Griffin, you know, he signed that big deal in Jacksonville. Did not live up to it at all in the first year. I mean, him and J.C. Jackson – and J.C. Jackson got hurt, but they signed big deals. They didn't really do anything with it. You know, Shaquille Griffin, 4 pass deflections, 23 tackles. He was giving up about 13 yards a catch, but he only did give up 3 touchdowns on the year. So, I mean, that is relatively lower for a corner. I can see Jacksonville being like, all right, we'll give it one more year before they do give up on him. If you do trade him, like you said, Detroit, probably the best suitable option.
Yeah. Jacksonville needs cap space. They've kind of, I think they're negative 20 or something in 20 over the cap, which is kind of crazy. But they did kind of get spend happy. Then, you know, I think the best decision is to move him, get some cap space, kind of reshape the rest of the defense. I don't think he's a guy that – I mean, I think he's fine. You know, if you want to keep him the next year, sure. But you're not going to get a lot for him in a trade, so I can definitely understand that. But at the same time, it's probably worth it, like, even still. And he's an interesting one. He's definitely an interesting guy because of how bad he played this last season. But the talent is undeniable. He's definitely a talented player. And he signed that contract for a reason. You know, he proved himself and he got the money. And I just think it's just not working out right now. And I think it'd be best for both parties to kind of just cut your losses and move on.
Yeah. I mean, one place I do think maybe also besides Detroit, maybe Miami tries to go out and get him. You know, we saw Miami's secondary not really play all that great. Maybe put him up with Xavier Howard. That's a pretty good 1-2 combo there out on the ends. And then we'll stick in the secondary. Safety Chuck Clark for Baltimore, also on a list of trade targets. As a safety, I thought he had a solid good year. 61 solo tackles, a forced fumble, 4 pass deflections. I think he's kind of in that same boat as we were talking about with Mario Davis and Cam Jordan, where it's like a lot of teams could probably use him.
Yeah, Chuck Clark, he was a guy that going, you know, they got Kyle Hamilton, who had a phenomenal season, Notre Dame legend. And they were going to move him, you know. And he wanted to be moved because, it, you know, it looked like he didn't have a spot in that secondary. And then all the injuries happened and he kind of became a necessity. So they've already had these conversations before that he's getting moved. And I agree exactly with what you said. He's a nice veteran safety, and it's so weird with safeties. They have really good years, and then they have really bad years. It's a very wishy-washy type position. But I think he's one of the, you know, he's one of those guys that's steady year in and year out. He's not elite by any stretch of the imagination. He's not a game changer. But man, I'll be damned if he's not a nice veteran to have in the back end. Very good in the box. He doesn't make a whole lot of mistakes. I could see Tennessee, but I know they're, you know, it's kind of a rivalry right there. Tennessee, you know, Detroit could use safety help, you know, as well as the corner help. Seattle, you know, there's a lot of teams that could use a Chuck Clark.
And then we talked about, or we mentioned his name just a little bit ago, Eric Kendricks from Minnesota. Also another solid year, 87 solo tackles. That was 12th in the league. One sack, 8 tackles for a loss, 15 run stuff plays. Had a great year. But Minnesota's kind of in that salary cap boat too, where it's like, what do we do? I mean, how many more years are you going to get out of them like that? I think they're probably wondering. You know, this is the first time he's kind of stepped up for this defense, I feel like. Because for a while, I always felt like, oh, he's going to take that next step. And then I felt like this year he did. But there's also that chance where he could be a dud again.
If I could get someone to overpay for Eric Kendricks, and it's in like the Cowboys, who are going to need linebacker help, you know, inevitably. They seems like they're always looking for linebackers. I'd move him. It's interesting. It depends on what Kevin O'Connell wants to do and how he views that defense, because I think if you ask Kevin O'Connell why he didn't do more in his first year, you know, why he didn't do more than his predecessor, just making the playoffs and then flaming out, he's going to tell you, my defense let me down. Move defensive coordinators, you know, trying to get a new one. Keep Eric Kendricks. You can run it back. Try to plug the holes. That defense can perform better. It's too much talent for them to be as bad as they were last year, obviously. Or you can do maybe the smarter thing, kind of rebuild it on the fly, tear it down this season. Use all your – I mean, they don't have a lot of holes on the offensive end, you know. Yeah. They're probably not going to bring back Adam Thielen, but who cares? Like, you can put me next to Justin Jefferson, and I can probably catch, like, a pass. like, I mean, Justin Jefferson requires so much attention. You know, you can put a mediocre wide receiver, too, and he's going to get lifted up a little bit. Same thing, you got T.J. Hockenson, Dalvin Cook, we've talked about. You know, he might be a guy that needs to be moved. But their offensive line is okay. They got banged up, but they're better than they were at the end of the last season. Get continuity at the quarterback position, at least for this year. Kirk Cousins will be back. Maybe this is the year to trade a Eric Kendricks, trade a Harrison Smith, tear it down a little bit, you know, let our offense carry us, because the offense already is used to playing with a bad defense. They did this year, so they can do it again one more year. Maybe, you know, next offseason we're talking about who's replacing Kirk Cousins, but then maybe the talent that we've invested on the defense is, you know, lifting us up. Maybe they're a top 15 unit, top 12 unit. They're much better. I think that's the route they should take. Let this be a transition year. I think the front office has faith in Kevin O'Connell based off of this first year, how good the offense looked. I think they can allow him to do something like that. I think they should allow him to do something like that.
And all you need is around the top 15 defense, I feel like, with this team, because of how uber talented the offense is.
Yeah.
So it's not like they need to rebuild defensive heavy. Oh, they need to be in the top 10. No, they just need something that's an improvement from this year.
Yeah, more than traffic cones.
Yeah, that's all.
It was a green stop sign is what it was.
It was very confusing. Stops. Yeah. it was basically just, oh, no cop, no stop. That was a defensive end for Minnesota. This last guy on our list – I'm looking at the stats when we were going over these. I'm like, wow, I would have never thought someone on Washington would have put up these stats. I'm not going to lie. Deron Payne, 11.5 sacks. That was 12th in the league. 31 QB hurries. That was sixth in the league. 17 tackles for a loss. That was first. And then he was eighth in his position with solo tackles, 33 on the year. I think any team can use a player like this.
Well, I do want to buyers beware. He's been solid most of his career. He's never been this. This is conversation for best defensive tackle behind Aaron Donald level good. Okay, this is DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead level good. He's not this guy. Contract year, he balled. My issue, he's my dream get for the 49ers, I'm not going to lie. I want Daron Payne in a 49ers uniform so bad. But the contract that is going to come with paying this guy, because they're probably going to tag him, they'll either sign him to his contract or they'll trade him. I think they should trade him. Because like I've said, he's never been this guy. And it's always a scary proposition. We've seen it a lot in the NFL. To go trade and give a guy a big contract after one good year. It's one thing to have one really good season, especially in a contract year. It's a whole nother thing to be that guy. Because you're not trading for Daron Payne of two seasons ago. You're trading for him what he was last year. That's going to be a lot of draft capital you're going to be giving up. A lot of assets you're going to give up to get him on top of having to pay him $20-plus million a year. I mean, that's a big investment for him to go back to being just a solid defensive tackle. I mean, you're going to need Aaron, you know, you're going to need like Aaron Donald Light, DeForest Buckner, like that level of production for him to be worth it. Jeffrey Simmons level of production for him to be worth it.
Yeah, I think you hit everything on the head right there. Anything else you want to add for the defensive players?
Not really. We covered a lot of trade targets.
Yeah.
For offense and defense. And I want to kind of start the team preview for this offseason by going into a couple of teams that are on the cusp of having transformative offseasons. Offseasons that can really shape their future. And I'll let you take it away first. You can kind of break it down. Talk about the Green Bay Packers, Tommy. Where do they stand heading into this offseason?
Yeah, Green Bay, 8-9. I think they're in a tough spot just because it's, you know, what is going to happen with them and Rodgers. I think that's, once they find out that decision, that's going to be, okay, this is what our offseason is going to look like. Because on the defensive side of the ball, they were solid. They had, at times, a good offense. At times, it looked like it was a dud. I just think it depends on, you know, once you get rid of Rodgers, what do you want to do with Jordan Love? What talent are you going to put around him? So I think that's going to be interesting to see.
Got Romeo Dobbs and Christian Watson. I don't really – if they don't have Aaron Rodgers, I don't see them adding like a veteran wide receiver to that room. They may draft another guy, but they'll probably just go in with those two. They'll add a tight end for sure. They have to. They bring back Tony and Trey, draft Michael Mayer, something. They'll add a tight end. Jordan Love is stepping into a decent position. Here's the issue with this, though. This will be an evaluation year for him. If you trade Aaron Rodgers, he's going to step in. He's going to have good running backs, good offensive line, average-ish weapons. You know, if Christian Watson really is who he was last year, and Romeo Dobbs, like, you'll have average weapons with a good defense on the back end behind you. Jordan Love should be able to make the playoffs with that. If he's an average quarterback, if he's a slightly above-average quarterback, he should be able to make the playoffs with that. Okay, I know Aaron Rodgers had a bad year, but he had the thumb thing and he was banged up. There was a lot going on in Green Bay last year. But if he doesn't, you've delayed your rebuild 1 year. Because if he's not the answer, then you got to blow it up. You don't have a quarterback. And sure you're not paying a bunch of wide receivers or whatnot, but that defense is not getting any younger. They're already kind of old, so it would be a tough sell to be like the Saints and keep going with this, you know what I mean? So I honestly think the best play is if Aaron Rodgers leaves, move some of the defensive talent as well, restock the draft covered, and let Jordan Love go out there and be evaluated with most of this offense intact. But don't try to say, oh, you know, Jordan Love's going to step in and we're going to continue our Super Bowl window. That's unfair to Jordan Love, and it's unfair to the fan base to put that pressure on that kid.
Yeah, I mean, and I like that you brought up, he just has to be an average quarterback for them to make the playoffs. Because, like you said, they are talented on both sides of the ball. Yes, the defense is a little bit older, but they still had a good year. I believe they're still top 15, I want to say, on the defensive end. I think it's just interesting to see. And I think it's their offseason just depends on what are they going to do with Rodgers first. That's what they got to decide. We'll talk about another team, the NFC, who I think is, they got to break it down. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Brady's gone. You got a lot of big contracts, a lot of older players on the team. It's time to, like we said last year, the Giants, take the posters down, start fresh. I mean, right now it looks like starting quarterback on the team right now is Kyle Trask. Jordan, I love Kyle Trask.
Listen, if Kyle Trask is a starter, he'll be the greatest tank commander the world has ever seen.
Yes.
I 100% agree with you. This offseason, every team in the NFC South is thinking one thing, Tommy. Can we convince Derek Carr to win the division for us? That's what all the teams are thinking. Every single one of them. If they get Derek Carr, they're going to win the division. That's how poor the quarterback play is there. That's how good most of the rosters are. The Bucs should not be one of those teams. The Bucs should zag when everyone else is zigging. Break it down. You got so much talent on that roster. They're all on big contracts, sure. You can get a lot of picks for the guys you can move. I'm talking total rebuild. Tear it down. Listen, it amazes me they went 8-9 with Todd Bowles. Think about that. Think about the talent that's on that roster. I know they are injured, but it's still Tom Brady. That tells you what you need to know about your coaching staff. You went from a Super Bowl contending team, a team that should have beat the Rams in that playoff game with Bruce Arians, should have went to the Super Bowl, maybe could have won it, to this under Todd Bowles. That tells me what I need to know.
He's
not the guy. He's not going to lead this team to the playoffs. We went 8-9 with Tom Brady. Like, with the same offense. I mean, the offensive line was injured, whatever. It's Tom freaking Brady. With a defense that was relatively healthy. I mean, they had a lot of injuries in the back end, but they got healthy near the end of the year. It's over, okay? It's over. Break it down. Start your rebuild. It can be a quick one. But the thing is, I think they're going to keep Todd Bowles. I think it's kind of late in the coaching cycle, so it seems like they're going to keep it going. I think that's a mistake.
I'm glad you just said that was a mistake, because Brian Leftwich got fired. I think he kind of got scapegoated. Is he the best OC? Probably not. But he's not the worst out there. We've seen a lot worse, especially in Baltimore. I've never been a big fan of Todd Bowles. I mean, I remember when he's coaching with the Jets. I just don't think he's that great as a head coach. I think he's a good defensive coordinator, but there's defensive and offensive coordinators out there that just don't make good head coaches. We see it all the time.
Yeah, and it's not a shot to Todd Bowles to say he's a bad head coach. I think he's a mediocre head coach. He can probably get you back to 8-9, 9-8, maybe make the playoffs as a wild card again, get bounced in the first or second round. Sure. Who wants that? And you did that with Brady. Now he's going to have Kyle Trask or Derek Carr. Two guys. Kyle Trask is definitely not Tom Brady, but Derek Carr also is definitely not Tom Brady. I mean, he's not even close. Like, Kyle Trask is not even Kirk Cousins. Like, think about that. Kyle Trask is not even Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, I don't know this for sure because I haven't seen him play. I'm just assuming. Then you go to Derek Carr. He's not Tom Brady. Derek Carr is an average NFL quarterback. So if we get him somehow, with the cap space that we don't have, somehow we make enough to get him or get some other mediocre, you know, a Jimmy Garoppolo, who it seems like the natural succession was always him in New England, right? Jimmy Garoppolo going to go to he's going to be the next guy in New England. Now he's going to be the next guy in Tampa Bay after Tom Brady. Let that man have his own legacy. Why are they still tied together?
I don't know.
Let's be real, Tommy.
I mean, Tank Commander. I don't know.
And NFC South, right? Let's say they don't add any quarterbacks. Let's say Tampa Bay is the only one that adds a vet quarterback, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Let's say Carolina drafts Will Levis. Let's say the Saints roll with Jameis Winston, Andy Dalton. They're lost, okay? And let's say Atlanta signs, I don't know. Let's say they draft Anthony Richardson somehow. I don't know. Well, just for sake of argument. Are we scared of Tampa Bay with Jimmy Garoppolo?
No. No,
I'm not. I think I could still win the division with Will Levis. Like, tear it down.
Bring it all down.
It was a great run. Tom Brady came, hired mercenary, got you a Super Bowl. You can celebrate it. All you and the two-year Tampa Bay fans that just popped up. Man, history. Historical. You'll always have the videos from the parade. Move on.
That was a wonderful parade.
It was.
Yes. We'll talk about two teams where they kind of look like they're on the come up this year, looking to make strides. 9-7-1 New York Giants, and then the 9-8 Detroit Lions.
Well, let's talk about the Lions first. Started 1-6. I hopped off the Dan Campbell train wreck, or it looked like it was going to be a train wreck. I was not trying to die on that. I was, you know, I moved on. I was wrong. They turned it around. So, I mean, there's one clear thing here. If Aaron Rodgers leaves, it's going to be between the Lions and the Vikings to win that division, probably, you know, depending on how Jordan Love looks. Detroit, you got one thing to do. You're going to have Jameson Williams, Amon-Ra, a hodgepodge of tight ends. I mean, I don't think it really matters who they put out there at tight end, to be honest. Good run game, good offensive line, good quarterback production, good coaching staff. Every single asset. I mean, they could go out and get another receiver for sure, but every single asset should be spent on the defensive side of the ball. Any free dollar, any free draft pick needs to be a defender. If we can get this to a league average defense, they can win this division. They need to start pushing the chips in the middle. You got to capitalize on this because this is the closest Detroit's been to being a really good football team in forever. So let's not mess this one up.
Please don't mess this up. I really want to see Dan Campbell in the playoffs. I want to see that man succeed. Yeah, I think you hit everything on the head with Detroit right there. You got to rebuild the defense. The offense, I think, they're a young offense, if you think about it. I mean, Jared Goff is, I'm not going to say up there, but he's a veteran. Jamal Williams, kind of a veteran, too. DeAndre Swift and all your wide receiver room, they're young guys. You don't want to ruin that mojo, I feel like. Don't bring in veteran pieces on that offensive end. The Giants, 9-7-1, came out of left field. I'm going to be honest. No one thought that would happen with this New York team. They found ways to not lose football games. Yes. I think that describes their season. Their biggest, I think, priority needs to be, I think they got to re-sign Saquon. That's number one. I would try not to franchise tag him. I would try to work out a long-term deal. But the problem is we've seen long-term deals with running backs. They bite a lot of teams back. I mean, it doesn't end very well, usually.
Yeah. I feel like you sign Saquon back because he's an engine that drives the offense. If you can get something manageable, that's great. But the white elephant in the room, the big, big elephant in the room, is Daniel Jones. Listen, he had 15 passing touchdowns. Giants fans tell me, 22 total touchdowns. 22 total touchdowns. So 7 rushing touchdowns. And we saw what they did at the end of the season. The offense was moving and they beat the Vikings. Stop acting like Daniel Jones beat the Vikings. The Vikings beat themselves. Their defense was horrendous. That's the only defense that was in that playoffs that could have lost to Daniel Jones. If they would have drawn the San Francisco 49ers in the first round, they would have got demolished. They would have somehow played Philly in the first round, even though that's not possible. They would have got demolished. Stop. It's nonsense. The Vikings were the only team they could have beaten in the playoffs. Only team. They're the only defense that was bad enough to lose to Daniel Jones playing whatever he was playing. Half quarterback, half running back. Brian Daboll is an elite head coach. He went 9-7-1 with that roster. He had no business doing that. But the offense is horrendous. It is stinky. It is sweaty, gym sock, stuck in a duffel bag for 8 weeks, stinky. It's terrible. Stinky. Okay? Saquon Barkley and Inshallah. That's what it is. It's thoughts and prayers. I mean, we re-signed Isaiah Hodgins. I like him. I mean, do I want him to be my wide receiver 1 and 2? Probably not.
Not at all.
I like their young tight end, Dan Bellinger. I think he's solid. The offensive line played worse than I thought they would with Evan Neal. I think he'll be better next year. So maybe that's the bright spot of that offense. But listen, man, the elephant in the room is Daniel Jones. I can't pay him $45 million. I can't. No. And it's a report came out this morning that Derek Carr is seeking $35 million. So if Derek Carr only wants $35 million, I'm sure as hell not giving Daniel Jones $45 million. He can get $25 million, maybe $30 million if I'm feeling generous. I don't. He's not it.
He's not good.
Stop trying to fool yourselves. I think Giants fans think we made the playoffs. He's got to be the savior. Did y'all see Eli Manning on his last legs? Did y'all see how bad he was? I would still take that over Daniel Jones. He can't play quarterback. The reason why they made the playoffs is because Brian Daboll put handcuffs on Daniel Jones and told him to stop acting like an idiot with the football. Him not turning the football over and that defense playing way above, you know, where they're at talent-wise right now was the reason they made the playoffs. That team is not there yet, and I think they need to walk that line very cautiously. I love Brian Daboll, but a lot of those games they shouldn't have won, let's be honest.
A lot.
You know, if that luck reverses and we look at a 6-11 season next year, you know, something a lot more normal, or 7-10, if I've paid Daniel Jones $30+ million, goodness gracious, to go 7-10, oh my God, Brian Daboll's getting fired.
He's gone. I mean, I don't know where Daniel Jones is getting these numbers. I'm going to be honest, for why he wants $45 million. I get that Dak is paid $40 million. Maybe he wants to be paid more than Dak. But I didn't know Derek Carr was asking $35 million.
That's just a rumor that came out.
If that is true, like you said, Daniel Jones should be making $25 to $30 million. There's no reason he should be making more than that. I mean, so say, I think him and Saquon, they've talked about either one of them is going to get franchise tagged, right?
I don't want to pay a running back $10+ million. I find it hard to believe that they couldn't find similar production without Saquon, but I understand how generational Saquon is. I'd franchise tag Daniel Jones and
work long term on Saquon.
Yeah, try to do something like that. But I just think they have to go try to find another quarterback.
Yeah, I really do. Yeah,
I just think it's like if you sign him to a 2 or 3 year contract, what are you really doing?
I think like, you're shooting yourself in the foot.
Yeah, like how much better can he really get? Because he wasn't really throwing the ball down the field, and I get it. He didn't have any weapons, and that's the excuse they're using. He didn't have any weapons. Okay, we go get D-Hop. Oh, and you know maybe he gets marginally better. What level of quarterback play does he have to get to you for you to be comfortable with that? You know what I'm saying? And right now, I don't see it being projectable at all. Tommy, they legitimately took the ball out of his hands and told him to run it. Like, you're better running the football than you are throwing it. So just play like a running back. Like, that's the best option for our for our offense, for you to occasionally throw the ball.
Mm. I mean, like, it's crazy.
And I get that he put up decent numbers with Isaiah Hodgins and, you know, whatever they had, you know, whatever spare parts they picked up. I get that. That's not enough for me to say, oh, if I get him D-hop and draft another receiver, man, this guy's going to be top 10 in the league. He's not. He might get to top 15. I might get average quarterback play. So why would I want to – you got to bank on that. You know what I mean? That's a bet. That's a gamble that you're taking for that level of quarterback play. Because right now, if I had money, I would bank on Daniel Jones, that being a fluke, him going back to being a turd. That's what I would bank on. So if I have to bet on him becoming an average quarterback, I'm not taking it. I'll just go draft another quarterback. I'll go sign Derek Carr. I'll go trade for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah. I mean, there's more likely a chance that Daniel Jones is a turd than an average quarterback. That is true. That might have been the realest statement you ever made on this show. Anything else you want to add about the Giants?
No.
Yeah. These next two teams, I kind of feel like they're in the same situation because they're kind of in purgatory if you think about it. We got the Raiders 6-11 and the Titans 7-10. Where do they go?
Listen, we told them the prince who was promised, Ronnie Bass, Sunshine, remember the Titans. It's remember the Jacksonville Jaguars, him and Dougie P, AFC South, on lock with his golden locks. Let me tell you. Love that man. Love me some Trevor Lawrence. You know, Terrell Owens said, I love me some me. I love me some T-Law. Love it. Love him and Dougie P. It's a match made in heaven. Now they're adding Calvin Ridley. Amazing.
Oh, my God.
Titans, you got Ryan Tannehill on a huge contract. You have to pay Jeffrey Simmons. You got Derrick Henry, Treylon Burks. Mike Vrabel is a great coach. You need to give him leeway and say, all right, Mike, bad couple seasons. We're not going to fire you. We'll let you rebuild. He's a great defensive coach. I'm giving him full trust to be able to rebuild that defense on the fly. Offensively, tear it down. I don't think Malik Willis is the guy, although I do think they need to give him snaps to figure out if he can be. I've seen the ceiling with Ryan Tannehill with all the conditions being perfect. Time to move on from that. Let's get up from under that contract. Offensive line, they're already starting to rebuild. They released Taylor Lewan. Blow it up. Nuclear explosion. We need a new everything. So I think next season, I think it can be a very quick rebuild because I like their coaching staff and I like their new GM. I think this can be a 1-year turnaround, to be honest, maybe 2 years. Let Derrick Henry play Tank Commander. You want him to be a Titan legend. You want him to retire. So it sucks to say that you don't want to compete. But we need to tank for the number one. It's stinky, but we need to tank for the number one. I need Caleb Williams in a Titans uniform or Drake May in a Titans uniform to keep being good. But we've reached our ceiling with Ryan Tannehill, and we need to reset this cap. We got some pieces on both sides that we can build around. Let's do that. Let's take a 1 or 2 year pause, come back competitively. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's all you need to do, especially in the AFC South, because, you know, Jacksonville, it was just 1 year. We don't know where they go.
And, you know, and you look at, you got Houston, you got the Colts, both teams are in transition. So that's why I'm saying one or two years, you can do it. You know, this is not an AFC West where if we blow it up, well, we might not compete for 10 years.
Yeah.
No, you can catch back up to those teams, for sure, especially with Mike Vrabel, a head coach.
It's very doable. But I'm glad he brought up AFC West. We'll transition over to the Raiders. 6-11. They got rid of Derek Carr. Probably drafting a QB, I'd say. I don't think they're going to go out and trade for a veteran.
Listen, the GM, what the GM say? We don't have an immediate answer at quarterback. You don't what? Huh? You don't have Jared Stidham's not the guy. That's what you're telling me? Are you sure?
Auburn
legend. He almost beat the Niners.
He looked good.
Something. He looked great.
Yes.
It's got to count for something. I think we need to sign him. If Daniel Jones is getting $45 million, I'm giving Jared Stidham $60.
I wouldn't be mad at that. No, I wouldn't be mad at that. I mean, they're kind of in that position. You know, they're the AFC West. we might not catch up to Kansas City or the Chargers now, or Denver.
You don't have the quarterback play. You didn't have the quarterback play when you got Derek Carr. Now you don't have one. It seemed like you're putting all your eggs in the basket for Tom Brady. That doesn't look like it's going to happen. So do you go get Aaron Rodgers? You might as well, I guess. You know, if you got Josh McDaniels, who I think is another – it's going to be another failed stint at head coach for him. Yep. They said they want to aggressively reshape the roster. So we've got Hunter Renfrow, we've got Darren Waller. You might look to move those two, free up more cap space. Now we got the issue of Josh Jacobs. Do we re-sign him? Do we tag him? Am I going to give him big money? I don't know. That's the coaching staff that unlocked him and used him. So maybe they do pay him. Defensively, I'm not in love with the unit at all. I don't think there's a whole lot there. They signed Chandler Jones. He was very mediocre. I like Max Crosby. Offensively, good offensive line, veteran offensive line. You add Aaron Rodgers to that with Hunter Renfrow and Darren Waller, yeah, the offense can definitely compete. But is that not kind of the same team?
It is. It is the same team.
Like, yeah, sure, he's better than Derek Carr. He's not Patrick Mahomes.
No.
May not be Herbert. About the top of the episode. Yeah. He may not be Herbert. May not be a bounce-back Russell Wilson. It's going to be another dogfight.
Is it worth
maybe
it?
Maybe we make the playoffs. If Josh McDaniels can actually coach.
Probably not. I mean.
But again, if you tear it down, you're not catching up to those teams. So they're in an extremely tough spot.
Yeah.
So if I was the Raiders, sure, throw all your eggs in the basket. Try to go get Aaron Rodgers. I don't love it, but it's probably the best option.
And they need the best option. They can't afford to go for a second best option or third best option. You brought up some of the contracts not working out, like Chandler Jones. We know the Jones family. They don't do well in Vegas. Vegas and them are not a good pairing. But, I mean, honestly, though, I thought that would be a good deal just because, you know, you got Chandler Jones on one end, Max Crosby on the other. Just didn't work out. I mean, Chandler Jones, he was a monster in New England and Arizona. Maybe he took a step back. Who knows how he'll respond. Anything else you want to add for Vegas?
Nah, the last team.
The last team. The last ones. The New York Jets, 7-10 last year, only because they had Zach Wilson in those games.
Should have made the playoffs, but they had Zach Wilson, yes, quarterback. They get Aaron Rodgers, they could win that division. I think talent-wise, the roster is better than the Buffalo Bills. It's more controllable. They're not paying a whole lot of people. Good young offense. I think an exciting defense that can only get better. I think they could beat the Buffalo Bills for the division. I think they could. I mean, I'm not saying it's a guarantee. I'd still take Buffalo, but I think they could. Miami, I think they'd be a better team than Miami. New England, they would be a much better team than New England if they had Aaron Rodgers. You might actually win some games against New England.
You never know.
I think that's the route you take. If you get Derek Carr, similar thing. I think they'd be closer to Miami. I think it'd still be better than New England for the time being. And I think they could still make a run at the division. But they're a quarterback away.
That's it. I'm quarterback kind of away. You. The talent is there. I mean, we've seen Breece Hall is amazing running back, I think, for years to come. The wide receiver room, young and talented, led by Garrett Wilson, who was Offensive Rookie of the Year. Defensive side of the ball, they have the veterans, and Sauce Gardner probably might be, what, a top seven corner already?
He might be top three. I mean, top he played three? Phenomenal. He might be. Played phenomenal.
I mean, this Jets team, I think, did a good rebuild. Next year is where they finish it.
They're quarterback away. I think if you choose not to go for Aaron Rodgers, you don't let Derek Carr go anywhere else.
No, because I think Derek Carr will do solid.
And, you know, it's not exciting. You know, I don't think they're Super Bowl favorites or even, you know, maybe even the top three or top four contenders for the Super Bowl with Derek Carr. But he'll get you to the playoffs.
Yeah.
And that's really all you can ask because everything's got to be perfect anyway. You got to avoid injuries. You got to have your defense play well. So just getting there right now for the Jets should be enough. And you're not giving up any draft capital to go get Derek Carr. You're just signing him now. He's a free agent. So, you know, we cross that bridge. If he's not good enough, maybe, you know, 3-4 years down the road, an elite quarterback's available, give it one last hurrah, then you'd push the chips all in the middle. But, yeah, that's my thoughts.
You just had to get that off your chest, then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got no other teams. I'm guessing you got no other teams.
This was a long episode, man. It was a long episode for us.
Only about, I'd say, 4 minutes longer, which is not that much longer. That's a solid time, I feel like. I think that's all. That's all I got to add. Anything else you want to add before we sign off here?
Nah, we'll be looking at hopefully we'll be looking at teams more specifically, deeper dives next couple episodes probably. And the off season is right around the corner, man. Free agency opens March 15th. That's in a couple weeks, so we're getting there.
It's about that time. But that is going to do it for us today for the Armchair GMs. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode. We'll see you guys next week.
Peace.